All right. Before you guys take a seat, if you would, take a few minutes to greet the people around you. It's good to see you guys. So to make everyone feel welcome, turn around. All right. As you guys have a seat, it is good to see you here. My name is Johnny. I am a youth leader here at Calvary Chapel St. George, and I have the blessing of sharing for PAW, which is Pray Around the World. First Wednesday of the month, we focus on either a missionary or a ministry that we're supporting as a church, and we're super involved in missions here. And so if you're new here, welcome. It's good to have you guys here. And so I want to just give you maybe a rundown of what this night looks like, and then we'll get into it. So again, like I said, we meet every first Wednesday of the month, and we hear about a missionary, or we hopefully have them here in person. So because of where they're at across the world, we have workers and missionaries in North Africa, Mexico, England, Thailand, and then we support a woman in Cambodia. And so we're super focused on fulfilling the Great Commission, and a part of that is being able to hear what God is doing across the world. So we want to inform you guys about what's happening and what we're involved in as a ministry and what we support. And so just to sort of break it down, what is missions? So Jesus gave the Great Commission before he left, so after his death, and he gave the Great Commission to all of his disciples to go and make disciples of all of the nations. And so if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you have taken upon that, I wouldn't call it a burden, I would say that honor, to be able to reflect Christ throughout the entire earth and wherever the Lord would call you, having the heart of saying, God, I am here and I will go. If you call me, I'll do it. And being a missionary doesn't always necessarily mean going across the world, though it can. But I think being a missionary starts in your own heart, making the decision to say yes to Jesus wherever he'd call you. And so it starts where you're at right now. And so we're going to talk about what the Lord is doing in the ministry that we're going to focus on. But I just wanted to sort of set the groundwork for why we're meeting. Why do we meet here on Wednesday nights for this thing called Pray Around the World? What do we do? And so we hear from the missionary. Sometimes they're here in person or video call. And then for this one, I'll just be presenting the information of the ministry that's going on. And tonight we're going to be focusing on Chance for Change, which is a ministry in Thailand and along the Thai-Burma border. And I'll get into the exact details. I've got a little slideshow here. But where this is located in Thailand is in the 1040 window. And so if you've ever been out in the East Commons, there's this massive map, right? If you've ever been getting coffee and you look to your left, there's this massive map, and on it is this big red square. And inside of that, that's what we call the 1040 window. And that refers to the longitude and it's like the coordinate points of where it is. And inside of that is where 2/3 of the people groups of the world have not heard the gospel, have not been reached for the gospel. And our heart as a church is to reach the unreached people groups, right? And so it can be super comfortable to just stay here and to just say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord right here. And that's great. And I would encourage you guys, look at your job as a ministry, look at your family as a ministry, and the next town over, the next city over, but also having a heart open saying, God, if you were to call me, wherever it would be, I would drop everything and I would follow you to the ends of the earth, preaching the good news. And so we desire to share the gospel as we've been called to make disciples, not just converts. We've been called to make disciples. And if you call yourself a disciple, you've taken on that call on your life and said, I will surrender everything to Christ and I will give him my life every step of the way. And then once you experience the freedom that's found in Christ, you understand why the gospel is called the good news. From an outside perspective, the good news seems like, all right, you get the bad news first, that your sin is causing separation between you and God. And that's pretty easy to admit, that all of us were messed up, we're sinners. And so it can be pretty easy to get to that point of understanding. But the next step is humbling yourself and admitting and saying, I need a savior. I can't do this on my own. And once you fully surrender your life, you know, because there's a difference between intellectual knowledge and experiential knowledge. You can know everything that the Bible says. You could have gone to church your entire life and been able to recite verses and say all the right things. But until you've actually made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, saying, God, I believe, help my unbelief, but I do believe, and I'm giving my life to you wherever you lead me. When you make that decision and you feel the freedom, the peace that comes with that, you don't want to be quiet about it, right? It should excite you. And the more that you take steps of faith when God calls you and he speaks through his Holy Spirit to say, go talk to this person, go pray for this person. You're like, oh God, that's uncomfortable. I don't know this person. What if they're going to judge me? They probably don't want to hear my spiel. But if you push that, all those voices aside, and you say yes to God, even before you know what he's going to ask you, you will live a blessed life. And not prosperity, not like financially, I just mean spiritually. You will be spiritually fulfilled if you answer the Great Commission. And it starts with one small decision. Well, it's a pretty big decision, but one big decision and saying, God, I'm yours. Here I am. I'm your servant. Send me. And then the next is saying yes in the little moments of life. And so again, that can look like praying for someone at the gas station and just being faithful where you are. And maybe the Lord will call you into more things, maybe bigger, maybe better, maybe farther, but just be faithful where God has you now. And so again, we come here and we're talking about missions, which is across the world, and the work that the people do when they surrender their lives to God and God takes them to a different country. It can be inspiring for us, right? And we can say, wow, God has really blessed that person. But those people are just like you and me. They just decided to go. And not everyone is called to the same thing. People have specific callings on their life. But I want to challenge you as you hear tonight, what has God called you to? And are you being faithful in that, right? Your life doesn't have to look the same as everyone else. I don't have the same spiritual gifts as Pastor Jerry or Matt. We're different people, and God uses our uniqueness as he grows us into the creation that he's designed us to be. As you grow into that and you surrender your life and your gifts to God, you'll start to see just how radical a life for Christ can be lived and just how much joy and peace it brings. And so that's why we do this. It's because we desire to see other people saved, to see other people come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you've experienced that yourself, I want to encourage you, don't keep it to yourself. If you truly understand, you know, there's a saying, and it's, when the beggar finds out where the food is, he goes and he tells the other beggars, right? And so I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find the food, right? Well, I'm not the provider of the food. I just have found this relationship with Christ, and I'm sharing it with everyone that I meet. And I pray that that's your heart as well. And so again, sometimes we can get caught up in, we're listening to this and we see these missionaries and we just say, wow, that's so great that God has them there. Praise the Lord. I bet they're living a crazy life for God. That's good for them. But for me, like, I'm comfortable and I have this job and I'm here. But God wants you to live, I would say, a crazy life for him where you are. You don't have to go to another country necessarily if God hasn't called you. And you can serve faithfully where you are. So I guess my challenge to you would be, are you fulfilling the Great Commission where you are now? Like, that's the call on your life, is to make disciples. Do you have anyone that you're discipling? Or do you have anyone that is following you the way that you follow Christ? And if not, I would encourage you, get somebody who's spiritually younger in the faith. I'm the youth leader here at Calvary Chapel St. George, and there's a lot of youth that are hungry to know the Lord more, but really they need somebody to sit down with them and to walk them through and take them through. It doesn't even have to be a super in-depth Bible study. You don't have to be Charles Spurgeon, right? You don't have to be some spiritual giant. If you're just a couple steps ahead of somebody, you can be someone who speaks truth into their life. And so I would encourage you, if you don't have anyone that you're discipling, I would look for them. If you ever want recommendations, you can come and talk to me. There's some youth kids that are hungry to be fed and to be taught, and they just need help. They just, you know, I am the youth leader, but we have about 30 to 40 kids, and it's really hard for me to go meet each kid individually. And so I would just encourage you, as we're talking about missions, the Great Commission, we're all fulfilling it, but we're fulfilling it in a different way. But I wanted to move on to our actual highlight tonight, which is Chance for Change. And so for this entire month, we do this every year. You'll see on Sundays and Wednesdays, we bring out these jugs of change and money, and we put them on these two tables in the West and the East Commons. And hopefully, if you guys know from last year, you've been saving all of the change that you've gotten. And I know that I don't personally use cash almost at all. It's purely card, and so I don't have a lot of change. But if you do have change, you can collect that and bring it in, and then it will all go into these ministries that we're going to be sharing about tonight. But also, if you have a desire to support this ministry, I'll talk about this more afterwards after I share all the information. But we always have on our website, on the Give tab, you can click what you want to support, what ministry, and you can scroll down and you can click Chance for Change. It's up there year-round. So let's get into this, what this actually is. So here you see Chance for Change. So this is a ministry within Thailand technically, but the people group they're called the Karen people, and they come from a country called Burma, or now references Myanmar. And they have fled that country into this little strip on the Thailand border in refugee camps. And the reason that this is happening is since World War II, there has been the longest civil war in human history, as far as I'm aware. It's been going on within this country, and the Burmese army has came in and started, I guess you could say, ethnically cleansing the indigenous people groups. And so there's a ton. There's about 100. There's the Rohingya. There is the Karen. So there's all these little tiny people groups in Burma that are being forced out. They're being killed. They are being pushed out of this country by the Burmese army. And this has been going on for a long time. And it's not really in the news much. If you don't go to this church, there's a good chance that you actually haven't heard about this conflict, even though it's been going on since World War II. And there's been tons of atrocities committed during this thing, and just the devastation that has come from this. And so we want to bring light to that. We want to bring Christ in this situation. And the best way that we can is by highlighting it, by talking about it, and by showing you what the Lord is already doing. This is not a hopeless situation. It's not complete darkness. Though it is a dark situation, God has been working through the darkness, and he's been taking what the enemy means for evil, he's been turning it for good. And so I want to share the reality, the harsh reality of what it looks like to be caught in a war as a kid and as an adult, and what that does to people, but at the same time showing you that there's still hope. Jesus is still working in this situation. And so we'll go through this. The Karen are the biggest people group that have been affected by this war within Burma. And so again, the army comes in and they kick them out. They burn their houses, their villages. One of the first things that they take down are the schools. And so the Burmese army is pretty relentless, pretty harsh. They've captured tons of people, killed tons of people in this war that's been going on. They set landmines around schools so that the kids can't get there. If they do, I mean, you know what happens. And so these people have to flee their homes because they're constantly being chased out. And so they have two options once the army comes into their village. They either realistically stay and die. They flee into the country, into the jungle, where there's no houses, there's no structure, away from their home, and they try to survive in the jungle, and then they'd be called internally displaced people, and there's tons of them within the country. Or they can run to Thailand. And so, if you want to go to the next one, I got to follow these pictures better. Okay, I got the blurriest picture from Google, obviously. Here is Thailand on the right. Here is Myanmar or Burma on the left. And in the biggest red dot in the middle is May Law. And so we're going to be talking about that refugee camp. But Thailand has opened up this, I think it's like 15 mile. It's a strip along the Thailand border that borders Myanmar. And they've opened that up to let refugees come in for people that need a place of refuge from the war that's going on. And so these people go in there and they have these huts and they form these villages and these towns, but they can no longer go back to their home because they don't have a home within Burma and they're still being persecuted in there. And they also can't enter into Thailand legally, right? And so they're stuck within these camps. And again, like I said, this has been going on since World War II. So there's people that have been in these camps, they've been born in these camps, they've been grown up, and then they've died without ever leaving these camps. And it's just crazy that you don't hear about this stuff even like unless you come to this church, unless maybe you're following some Christian news or partner organization or something like that makes you aware of them. But we have, as Calvary Chapel St. George, have been called to minister to the oppressed and to the people that have been, I guess oppressed is the best word. And we're coming alongside them, and specifically the Karen people group, because they're the largest one in Burma. And I think the number is around 30 to 40% of the Korean people group are Christian. And so they still have hope in Christ, a lot of them. And I think that that probably keeps, you know, you can't live without hope. And I think that that probably has done a lot for them. But we have multiple missionaries sent out from this church that are dealing with the, like, I don't want to say dealing with, caring for the Korean people, the people that have been affected by this war, the people that are stuck within these camps. And so we do have boots on the ground, praise the Lord. But a lot of our missionaries are a little more senior in age, if I can use that term. And so, you know, it's their desire, it's my desire that the work continues in Thailand because, you know, we've been called there as a church, but I don't think God is done with that place. And so I pray that the Lord raises up missionaries to send more people out to these countries, to the war-torn countries. And yeah, I mean, if you ever, I guess I'll just plug this right now. If you ever have a desire to get involved in missions, I would say the first thing that you should do is start serving locally. Start serving in this body. If you call this place your home, get involved. And as you get involved, I think the Lord will speak to you more and more. You know, when you take that first step of faith, the next couple steps of faith seem to kind of fall in place. And a lot of times in missions conferences, they'll say, you can't steer a ship that's not moving, or you can't steer a car that's not moving. You got to take that first step, and oftentimes the Lord will lead you in the next step. And so if you ever say, man, I'd like to be a missionary, but I don't know what it means, or I don't know what it would look like, just be faithful where you're at. Be faithful in your job. Start sharing your faith here. Because if you don't share your faith here where you're comfortable and you know the language, what makes you think going to another place where you don't speak the language, where you aren't comfortable, why do you think you'd share your faith there? And so I think all of us need to kind of get out of our comfort zone, take a step of faith for the Lord, and just see where he'll lead you. But if you genuinely are interested in missions, we still have Pastor Steve here and myself here, and I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to pray with you about it because we want to see more missionaries raised up. Again, if I can rat out the age, I won't say names, but two of them are in their 80s. So, and the other one I think is in her 70s. And yeah, you know, they want to see more missionaries there. They want to see more missionaries raised up because the issue isn't going away, right? The country is still war-torn. And as far as we can see, we don't know when the end of the war is gonna show up. Like, I pray that it does. I pray that the army relents. I pray that there is change within the country. But as there's not, we as Christians, it's our responsibility to take care of the fatherless, to take care of the widows and the orphans, and to care for the people that can't care for themselves or protect themselves. And so this is an opportunity for us to care. Even within St. George's, we're so far away, we'll probably never meet these people affected by this war personally. And yet when you invest through prayer, financial giving, we're talking about Chance for Change, so giving change to change a child's life. But I think the big thing is prayer. If you can commit to prayer, it's the first thing. And that's how you get involved. You start with that. You start with prayer. Just start praying for these people. Again, even if you don't know them, prayer changes things. I promise you, prayer changes things. And so if you are not praying, I would encourage you, please join us. There's prayer cards out there. I'll talk about, there's missionary updates that we send out every month that you can sign up for on the PAW table that's out in the West Commons. You can sign up, we'll send you the updates, and you could pray through the list. The missionaries that send them every month, they make it super easy. They go through everything they're going through. They share pictures. Then they say the praise reports. This person got saved. I had a good gospel conversation with this person. And then they say, and this is the praise report. We need money for a car. I pray for this person who had this gospel conversation. Pray for their salvation. And if you join someone in prayer, you know, oftentimes, again, the missionaries have left everything in this country to go to some other country. And it's difficult. They're probably struggling with the language. Learning languages is not easy. They don't have their family there. They can't go home for holidays. They're usually within countries that are not as blessed as we are in America. And so they're facing discouragement, and it can be tough on the field without me even necessarily knowing how difficult it is. I can only imagine how lonely that and isolating that can feel. But when we as the home church, as the supporters, we call ourselves supporters, we say we support these missionaries, but I want to make sure that we're actually supporting them, that we're taking care of them. And I think the big thing is prayer. And so that's why we gather for prayer around the world, is so that so that we can pray for each missionary that's been sent out. And so that's what we'll do at the end. We'll do that a little bit later. But I want to keep going along this, showing you guys what it looks like within these refugee camps. Because the Chance for Change, what they do is you give your change, and that supports children that are caught in the crossfire, that are stuck in these refugee camps. A lot of them, maybe they don't have parents or they don't have family. And, you know, the first thing that was taken away in Burma was schools. That was the first thing that the armies took. And so kids without getting education, they have rationed foods, they aren't making money. It's not like they have a skill that they can provide in the camp to make any money to buy themselves more food. And I was reading just to sort of refresh my mind about this whole situation. And they're saying they're getting an influx because in 2021 there was a coup and the civil war has gotten worse in Burma. You can look it up. I would encourage you to look it up and just read a little bit more. But what's happened is there's been an influx of a lot of young people because they're running from Burma so that they can get an education in these camps. And the influx of people, there's not enough resources to go around. So the people who already had rationed foods have to share their rationed foods. And this is why we want to support them, the work that's being done. And so if you do support them, I would encourage you to sign up for the missionary updates, go onto the partner's website and look. And so I'll talk about partners real quick. So Partners Relief and Development, it's a nonprofit, and they aim to help children in war-torn countries, and we partner with them through Chance for Change, as they are the boots on the ground. They put the money where the mouth is, right? They take care of these kids, and they go in there and give them the money, give them the food, and make sure that they are provided a good education. And within the camps, you know, the kids, they wake up, and they do school, they have prayer, they do Bible studies, and so it's not just, I mean, they're being raised in the gospel, a lot of them. So praise the Lord that God is within the camps, that he is taking care of this people group that has been oppressed for years, for generations. So partners started this thing called CARE, which is Compassion and Assistance for Refugee Education. And their goal is to provide an education for kids that are stuck in these camps. They don't have an education. They're barely surviving. They might not have family. And giving a kid an education is one way to support them, a massive way. I think oftentimes we take education for granted. If you were born here in the United States, you probably were forced to go to public school or forced to go to school. And so I think we resent our education sometimes. Like I know I did when I was in school. And I was just like, oh, why do I have to go to school? Like if I could, I would have dropped out in kindergarten. And you know, you just don't appreciate it because you just don't know what you have until it's gone. And then in these camps, like what they would do to get an education. And so if you would go to the next picture, and then we'll start going. Okay, so this is the Maylov refugee dorms. And so within this camp, there are 34,000 refugees in the Maylov camp alone. And there's 9 big camps. And so 34,000 is not a small number, people to be stuck inside of a camp behind like barbed wire, way in the jungle. Again, this is not their home. These people are not from Thailand. They're from Burma. But they're forced to live here because they can't go back to their home. Most of them don't even know where their home was if they were born within the camp, and they can't go into Thailand. Like Thailand has opened up this border strip that they can stay in, which is great, but they can't go into Thailand proper as far as I understand. And so there is, there's 3 main dormitories that we are supporting within these camps. And so I'll go through those, but if you would go to the next picture. So again, you can see super different landscape from St. George or even from the United States. But you can see that they're in huts. The poverty is, it's pretty rough. And I think that this should not just break our hearts for broken heart's sake, like, oh, wow, poor people, right? But it should invoke change in our lives. What can we do to support these people? I often get convicted as I'm up here speaking about it, and sometimes I get convicted about, like, you know, with inflation. I mean, you spend $15 on a burger and not even blink, right? but then you see how much it costs to support a kid for an entire month in one of these camps, and it's the same price as like a Five Guys meal. I mean, which is that's a lot of money, the Five Guys meal, but genuinely, when you put it in retrospect and you say like, how am I using the resources that God has given me? He has let you be born, if you've been born here, in one of the most blessed nations that's ever been on the face of the planet. And with these blessings, with these gifts, what are we doing with it? It's important for us to introspect. And you know, is something as simple as you have arms and legs. Like, you have the ability to help people around you. If you make any money, like how much it costs to support these kids in these camps, it's like less than $20 a month. Because again, they do get rations in the camp, but to get anything more than that, more than the bare minimum, is to get the education and to support these camps. You know, we're one of the only real supporters of these camps. And I think probably a big reason is nobody knows about it. Like, the amount of media coverage that this whole situation has gotten is very minimal. I would even go to say that a lot of people, maybe within Thailand, barely know, unless they're close to the border, that this is going on. And so we can shed light on this. We can talk about it. We can share about it. But I hope that this invokes our heart to pray and ask the Lord, God, what can I do to be involved in something like this? And so here is the camps again. Deep in the jungle, you can see just the poverty. So right here, I'll stop. So what Partners has done with this CARE program is going in and giving these kids an education, right? Within the camp, there obviously isn't too much to do. The resources are limited. And really, the resources are only what people on the outside are providing for them. It's a lot of these people that have been born within the camps, they don't necessarily have a skill that they can go out and just do stuff. And being stuck within the camps, they can't go back. They can't go into Thailand. And so what this program does is teaching them valuable skills, giving them an education. And that's what Chance for Change does. It's giving hope to kids maybe that feel hopeless. And the main focus is the kids in these refugee camps. But I wanted to, I wanted to tell you guys exactly what Calvary Chapel St. George has done. So we have been doing this for multiple years, praise the Lord. I was reading the update, and we're named specifically that we are one of the biggest supporters of this. It's us and two other organizations. One is a Catholic one I think is a nonprofit. I want to tell you the numbers. I mean, it's not just about numbers, but think about this being people. You know, oftentimes we can look at something that's going on across the world and we can say, those kids, like, wow, they're really going through it. But if you look at them the way that Christ looks at you, the way that Christ looks at them, it's through eyes of love and compassion and heartache. And, you know, I think if we can get this perspective of looking at them not as kids over in Thailand, but as like, what if that was my own kid? How would I want other people to care for my kid if they were going through something like this? And if your own kid was going through something like this, let's just say for some reason your kid or grandkid ended up in one of these refugee camps, you would do everything in your power. You would sell your car to give them money just to provide for them. And that's the level of sacrifice you would go just to show your kid or grandkid love. And I think God calls us to that sacrificial love for people that we don't know. Like, I don't know these kids' names. I've never met them. Maybe I never will. And, you know, we need to have that heart of, like, God, I would give everything to help these kids. It's you know, Christianity isn't just a set of ideals. It's not just a set of morals. It's not just we come in here because it's fun or because it's community or because the worship is good. But we come here because we desire to be challenged. We desire for God to meet us here and to speak to us, and we desire for our lives to be changed and transformed. And if you've accepted the call of the gospel, God, I give my life to you, transform me, that's a big call. You've put a big call on your life. You have answered the call to pick up your cross daily and follow him. When you pick up your cross as a Christian, Jesus' destination was the cross in his life, right? That he knew where he was going. And if you say, yeah, I'm following Christ, you know where that leads. It leads to death. It leads to the death of self. it leads to the denial of self. And, you know, oftentimes I think we can get so caught up in comfortability that that seems to be the goal for us, is that we, if I just work 60 hours, I can put my entire life into work, which will get me money, so that in 30 years, 40 years, I can have a good retirement and I can settle down and chill out. And then I can die peacefully, right? Oftentimes that seems to be the American dream. And God does not call us to a life of comfortability. Oftentimes he calls us to a life of uncomfortability, of discomfort, for the sake of loving other people. And so I hope that this is something that convicts you, convicts me, and just maybe look at, what are you spending your time on? What do you spend your resources on? If you got a bonus check from your work, where does that go? Where does that money go? Or the money that you get now, where does that go? I don't want to just like do fire and brimstone and say all of you are doing, I don't know your situation. But I know for me personally, I think dropped the ball on being a cheerful giver, as God has called us to be cheerful givers. And just this sacrificial love, loving people that you've never met. It's important for us to be challenged. Like, it can be hard to hear this and just say, yeah, well, you know, I'm doing this over here. Like, well, yeah, but you don't know my situation. I've got this going on. And if we can sort of put away the excuses and say, God, if you call me to give, I would give. If you called me to go, I would go. And start looking, start asking, and seriously consider if the Lord has called you and what to do and where to go. And so if you can go to the slide with the verse on it, I've got Psalm 82, verse 3 to 4, and this is why are we doing this? Like, why is this so important? In Psalm 82, 3 and 4, I think this is put beautifully. It says, give justice to the poor and the orphans, uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute, rescue the poor and helpless, deliver them from the grips of evil people. That's NLT, and I just think it's put beautifully. It's like, give justice to the poor and the orphans. And as I'm thinking about this, as I'm reflecting on this verse, I think the first thing you should do is, well, how is the person sitting next to me doing this? Or man, I wish that the rich guy down the street would be here to hear this so he could give all his money. Like, don't think like that. Think, I'm here now. How can I care for the orphan, for the widow, for the fatherless, the people that are oppressed? How can I speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves? And use your voice. You have a voice. You have the ability to do something. The chance for change, this is a call to action. Because your change isn't just gone into, oh, well this organization takes 50% and they give 50% to the camps. No, as far as I understand, 100% goes directly to the camps and for the kids and to the education and to the food. And so this is something that you can say, I know where my money is going. And also, at the same time, you can receive updates. And they're constantly sending out updates. And they're incredible. If you follow the stories that are coming out of these camps, like, time just doesn't permit, but I was reading testimonies of kids that have graduated high school within the camp, 17, 18 years old, and just their thankfulness, how grateful they are, and just the stories of saying, thank you guys for supporting me. People that they don't know how we have supported them. They probably don't know our names or our faces. They don't know that we're from St. George, Utah, and yet these kids' lives, and I would say even eternities, have been impacted and changed because of what we're able to do through other people that are faithfully serving God in that place. And so, yeah, that's the call to action. The jugs are going to be out there the whole time, this entire month. You can give throughout the entire year. And I would just encourage you, like, let this message be one of change in your life. Because this is not the only war going on. This is not the only oppression of a people group. These are not the only kids in a similar situation. But just ask the Lord and say, God, lead me. Lead me in my finances. How do you want me to give? I have not been giving the same way. Or lead me in my prayer. I have not been sacrificially praying for anybody, for their salvation, for you to protect and uphold them, right? You know, often I think we just think, for me to really help, I would have to give this much. I would have to pray this much. Just start where you are. Like, I'm convicted, and I'm like, man, I definitely do not pray enough for these people groups. And so God's mercies are new every morning. You just get up and say, all right, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to spend 5 minutes in prayer for these people. And if you truly believe that prayer changes things, that God listens to the prayers of the righteous, then you should be using that tool. You have a spiritual weapon in your tool belt. If you're not using it, you're letting it go to waste, right? And also, I think it's just interesting that, you know, I'm not going to say that America is a Christian nation necessarily, but we are a blessed nation in a lot of ways. And there is a pretty good percentage of Christians in this country. And the call is, as we prosper, as we have the blessings of this life, of education, of finances, of whatever God has blessed us with, I think the responsibility is greater on our heads of what we did with what God has given us, right? If you remember the parable of the talents, right? It's what did you do with that? It doesn't matter if you had one, doesn't matter if you were given 10. What did you do with the talents God has given you? You're not allowed to stand before God and say, God, you didn't give me much. Or like, well, God, you gave me you let me be born into a family with a rough upbringing or this or that. You won't have an excuse. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the gospel? What did you do with Jesus? You sat in church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and what really changed in your life? When did you, you know, there's a verse that really convicts me, and I should probably have written it down, but where he says, you know, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And they'll say, Lord, when did we ever do these things to you? And he says, when you did these things to the least of these, you did them unto me, right? And I think that's one of the most convicting verses in the Bible for me, because I just go down the list and I'm like, how often do I walk past people and I say, wow, that guy, he's made some poor choices. That got him to this point where he's on this corner. And I just drive by or I just walk by. And then I see like maybe people in prison. Why am I not a part of the prison ministry? Like, oh, those people have made bad decisions, you know? It's so easy for us to make these small statements in our mind where we don't look at people as people. We look at them as like numbers. We look at them as like other people, right? But when you can understand that you've been made in the image of God just as the same way as those kids have been made in the image of God, just as the way the person in prison has been made in the image of God, you understand that you should not look at yourself more highly than you ought. We are not, just because you have a higher education, just because you've been born into a rich family, or just because you've been born here, like those things do not give us any merit to look down on other people. And I think one of the best ways to practically apply this, if you say, Johnny, okay, how could I have practical application from this, more than just giving? I think if you can look at people as if they were Christ, right? I heard this on like a podcast, or maybe it was YouTube Shorts, I don't know, but it was like, if you looked at everybody as Christ, you know, you go into your kitchen and your husband or wife is doing the dishes, you know, you just say, oh, good, they're doing the dishes. But if Jesus came into your house and started doing your dishes, you'd be like, whoa, hold on, get out of there. I'll do them for you. And the same thing, like you see somebody who's raking leaves outside that's super elderly and they look like they shouldn't be doing that stuff, or they're up on a ladder. I think sometimes it's like, well, I'm kind of late for work. Like I got to get to work. I got to do this stuff. But if you saw that as Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you would say, well, I can't believe he's doing that. Like, no, I got to go help him. And I think that's a practical application. And for these kids as well, these are not just numbers. They're not just faces in a far away land. Right now, there are kids going through this, through war-torn countries that have been caused by sin. And I guess the question is, like, what are we doing about it? And if you think about these kids as your own kids, I think we would do a lot more. If I saw these kids as my siblings or my nieces or my nephews, I would probably do something about it. But oftentimes, I think we dehumanize humans, that we just say, well, because they're far away, because it's not my people, because it's not my country, I've got my own problems. We have enough problems in America. We can worry about what we have here. And that's true. I mean, you should. What are you doing here? Like, God has you here. So how are you using what God has given you here? But at the same time, like, not to turn a blind eye to the evil happening across the world, right? So convicting for me. I don't want this to be like a doom and gloom. It feels like I'm like putting this out there, but you know, the Lord has been ministering to me and honestly convicting me about how I spend my time, how I spend my resources. I look at my shoes. I've got a nasty cologne addiction, and I look at these things and I'm just like, man, my money could be better spent. I mean, if you looked at my food spending bill, it's a disaster. And I just think like, all right, I've got the conviction. What do I do about it? I'll get convicted. Jerry will be preaching. And I'm like, oh man, did he just say, what am I doing with my money? Like, what am I spending my money on? I don't want to think about that, because then I'll have to change my spending habits. That's a lot. That's a lot to take on. But I think you'll be pleased. You'll be blessed. You'll live a joyful, happy, fulfilled life if you say yes to the Lord when he calls you, even if it's hard. The call to follow Christ is a sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. And if you say you love Jesus, you have answered the call of sacrifice for Jesus, and he calls you to defend the poor and fatherless. He calls you to be a cheerful giver. He calls you to love people sacrificially, whether they are, like, to use biblical terms, a Jew, a Gentile, a Samaritan, your enemy, your friend, your mom, your dad. You're supposed to treat all people with a deep, profound love, looking at them as more highly than yourself, right? That you should lay down your life for your friend, your brother, for these kids, I think. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. This is a lot as we're listening to this. But, I just pray that each of us, we walk away from this, not just as another paw. Okay, we're going to, a couple minutes, and we're going to break off in prayer, and then I can go home, and I can eat dinner or whatever it is. It's like, let's not just walk away from another Bible study. How many more Bible studies until we do something about it, right? Like, how many more Bible studies do we have to sit through until we're ready to be missionaries, to be workers, to be evangelists, to be the Christians that God has called us to be? Do you need more intellectual knowledge? Do you need to have a theology degree? No. The disciples, they just witnessed it and they shared it, right? The guy who was blind, he said, I once was blind and now I can see. They're asking him all these questions. Yeah, but who healed you, and when did this happen, and were you born blind? And he's like, I don't even know. I just know I once was blind and now I see. And I think one of my favorite stories is in John 5, the woman at the well. Jesus meets her in her brokenness and he just tells her everything that she's ever done. And that's all it takes. She runs back. Before, she was an ashamed woman, but then she runs into the town and she starts telling everyone, come and see a man who told me all that I've ever done. And those people, they believed her testimony. They say, man, I think that the Messiah is out there. Like, I believe from that testimony. And then they saw Jesus themselves and they said, we believe because of your testimony. But now that we've seen him firsthand, we believe because we've experienced it, right? And God has given you a testimony. God has been working in your life since you were born. God knew you in your mother's womb. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He's been working on you in your life. He's been chasing you down and showing you love. What are you doing with that story? You have a unique story. God has brought you through unique trials. He's delivered you. You're all sitting here today. And so he has seen you through some of the hardest times of your life. And what are you doing with that? Are you keeping that to yourself and saying, God, thanks for getting me through another trial. Thanks for getting me through another fire. Or you're going to say, I've got to share what God has done. He's been faithful. He's been good. And I'm not going to stop singing about it. I'm not going to stop praising. And I'm not just going to keep it to myself. I'm not just going to keep taking in at this church. And so I think a call to action is, how are you serving the Lord? How are you serving others? What are you doing with God has given you? I think that's, if I can give you any big takeaway, it's that. Be a missionary where you are. Be an evangelist where you are. Take a step of faith. You don't need another 100 hours of Bible study time. You don't need another 100 hours of Jerry's preaching. You don't need another 10 more paws like prayer around the world until you take a step of faith. Like, make a decision right now. God, I will follow you wherever. So if you've never made a true decision to follow Christ with your entire life, if you've never accepted the good news, the gospel that I was a sinner, Jesus came to die for me while I was a rebel, while I was being rebellious. He died for me on the cross. He took my place so that I could be forgiven of my sins. And if I trust and believe, John 3:16, that God so loved the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If I put my trust and faith in him and I call upon his name, I will be saved. If you can believe that and you can accept that, the free gift of salvation is offered to all who answer that call. And so if you've never put your faith in Christ, I want to give you the opportunity. I don't need to lead you through a prayer necessarily. You just need to pray and say, God, forgive me. I've been running, and I pray that you would forgive me. And for the believers in here, you've been walking with the Lord for 20, 30, 50 years, but maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. You know, a life following Christ is not just one. I made a decision when I was 13 years old at summer camp to follow Christ, and that was awesome, and, you know, it's brought me this far, but When's the last time you've rededicated your life to Christ? When's the last time you've repented of your sins? When's the last time you've relied on God the way you did the first day that you were saved, right? So that's stuff that I think the Lord has been showing me recently. So hopefully it's for someone in here. I pray that it is. But this is it. This is prayer around the world. This is important that we gather and pray for what's going on and get involved. If you don't know who the missionaries are at this church, but you call this your church home, please find out who they are. We have their cards up on the map. I would encourage you sign up for the missionary updates, because if they walk in here and nobody knows them, it's the most discouraging thing they could face, right? They're doing all this work for the Lord, being supported by this church, and they come back and they just walk through like nobody knows them. And so let that not be us. Let that not fall on our heads. Again, just do what you can as an individual to familiarize yourself with the work that God is doing through this church, through this body, across the world, through the missionaries that have been sent out, and pray and ask the Lord if maybe he would have you be a part of the good work that he's doing. So I also, as we're closing this, before we get into the prayer groups, I want to have Mark and anyone else who is going on the Christmas outreach coming up that hand out the food boxes. Sorry to call you out, but if you would come on up here, I would just like to pray for your trip. We want to cover this in prayer. It's what they do is they get these food boxes. They go into different houses in the community in Mexico that are super... They're struggling, right? These families are struggling, and oftentimes it's not just financial needs. They are going through a lot. People that have their children or someone in their family has committed suicide recently, just torn families. And we get to go in there. We have the privilege and the blessing to be able to go in there to pray with them and to give them food, and hopefully the Lord comforts them in their time of need, and he uses us as vessels to be able to do that. So I praise the Lord that we've been doing these trips, and Mark has been faithful in leading them. And so if I can, if you guys would, just join me in prayer, and let's pray for them before they go. Father God, I thank you for this group of people that have said yes to you, Lord, even to go into a country that's not their own and to cross the border and to love people sacrificially, as we've heard. God, these people are going through a lot. They're struggling. They need hope and they need deliverance, God. And I just pray that you would use this team. You would protect them and keep them safe, God, as they go out. And Lord, I pray that you would just open their hearts and their minds to be changed and to be transformed, that you would use this trip, if it's their first time or their 100th time going to Mexico, you would open their eyes to see the blessings that they have and that they would give that to the people that they meet, not just there, but when they come back here as well. So I pray that you would be using this as a blessing to them and a blessing to the people that they meet. God, so we thank you for letting us be a part of the good work that you're doing. Help us not to take for granted what you've done for us and what you're doing. And so God, just lead all of us. We want to say yes to you before you tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. Let us be faithful and obedient no matter the cost, God. So we give our lives to you. We give this trip into your hands. Pray that you would bless it. And Lord, we pray for salvation on this trip, that we would hear praise reports of people giving their lives to you, God. So we just thank you. We thank you so much for letting us be a part of a body that takes your great commission seriously. Help us as individuals to take it seriously as well, Lord. So we put this day, this night, and this our lives into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, so if you guys would, please stand up, and I'll tell you, we are about to go pray for the next 20, 30 minutes. And this back corner is Mexico. If you desire to pray for Mexico, the core group leader will lead you through the things that you can be praying for. They'll give you handouts and papers. Back here is England, up here is North Africa, and over here is Thailand. And so we just talked about Thailand, and so if you don't know, you can go there, and at least you can be praying for those camps. And also, before we actually break up, around 7:25 or 8:25, I'll come back up here, and we have the women's ministry. I think it's the Christmas tea or Christmas brunch, something like that. There's a women's event happening in here, and so after, at about 8:30, we have to take all these chairs out. We have to bring tables in. It's a lot of work, and so if you're someone who is willing to do that, please stay so that we have all the help that we can get. So that'll be after. I'll tell you guys instructions for that, but right now you can break off into the prayer groups, and they will lead you in the prayer, and I would encourage you, take a step of faith and pray out loud. Back there is Mexico. Back here is England. Up here is North Africa, over here is Thailand. So just thank you guys for coming here. Join me in prayer.